You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker, and this episode is being released on November 17th, 2022. And joining me again this week is Christopher Gardana. He's a good friend of mine, preaches out in West Texas. He was on the program 2 weeks ago, his first appearance on the show, and the first time I've had anyone on the show. And that went so well that we've decided to do it again. So, Christopher, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I'm glad I'm able to be with you and looking forward to our study.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to you here today. This week, we're talking about the Bible and whether it is still relevant in our modern world, because it's sometimes when we think about where we are and where our society is, it's sometimes amazing to see just how different our world today is compared to what it was 100 years ago, or really we can even just go 5 or 10 years ago, and just how different it is now. And that's not just about technology, but just about the values and the morals of the world around us, that for those of us who have, you know, so-called grown up in the church, the world around us is almost completely foreign to us as far as the way that it operates and the way that the value system is. And so because of that, there are many people who have concluded, and sadly, some even in the church, who have decided that, well, the Bible just isn't relevant anymore, or isn't relevant on certain issues or certain topics. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So for some related materials to this discussion, those will be listed in the show notes for this episode. You can check those out at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/11-17-22. So now for our discussion this week. The question we're talking about today, and this is a broad topic, so we're going to see where we go with this. Is the Bible still relevant today? The overall theme of this podcast is about discussing current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. If you listen to the podcast, you've heard that on the intro to it before. And these topics are always interesting to discuss. And even people who are not religious or not very religious, they are interested in talking about these types of things. But here we are very careful to approach these ideas and these topics from a biblical perspective and looking at what the scriptures have to say that relate to whatever it is that's under discussion. So as we think about that idea of looking to the Bible, question that I want to start with here is, should we even be doing that? So, Christopher, I'll direct this to you first. Is it naive for us today to try to use the Bible to address the issues that we face in our modern world?
Well, you know, if you're woke, then clearly no. The idea of being woke is this idea that you were asleep, or that you were blind, or that you were in the dark. And now that you're woke, you're aware of all these social justice issues that are out there. And that wasn't really the question, but the point is you're going to either say there is objective truth, and I'm going to search for that objective truth, and I'm going to investigate whether or not the Bible is a source of objective truth, or I'm going to say there is no such thing as truth, and I'm just going to go my own way and do my own thing. And, you know, and that's where you have that huge divide there, you know, because our culture today does say there is nothing absolute. Gender's not absolute. Biology, you know, everything can be changed at a whim, at a fancy, in a moment's notice, because I think so. And the reason why it's still relevant today is because that doesn't actually anchor you to anything. In fact, it's been kind of interesting to see over the last few years how, whether it's a comedian or a celebrity or even a politician who thought that they were woke enough, found out very quickly that shifting sand of what is politically or socially or culturally relevant, it changes so quick that you can be a best-selling author one minute, and now you're someone who hates a certain group of people because you believe that there is actually women actually have an identity, you know? And so it's just an ever-shifting sand. Whereas the Word of God, and even those who are searching for truth who haven't landed and found and have come to the conclusion that the Word of God is the standard, you know, they're looking for something that is solid with a foundation. And the other side, there is no foundation. In fact, as soon as you think it is, it's no longer there.
Yeah, that's true. And what you were, as you were talking about there, it reminded me, it was the idea that you were mentioning about, here are some things that are, you know, are absolute. And our society says, well, no, there are no absolutes, whether it's talking about, you know, even the whole gender issue, the transgenderism, where you think that something as clear cut as that would, you know, well, that's obvious, but even something that should be obvious is not obvious anymore. But you think about what the Bible addresses. And I was thinking about the book of Ecclesiastes, where you have, when people today say, well, you know, things are just different now, and just the way that we look at the world is different. The wise man over in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he said in verse 9 that which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see this, it is new? Already it has existed for ages which were before us. There is no remembrance of earlier things, and also of the later things which occur, there will be for them no remembrance among those who come later still. This idea here that the wise man is getting at is that, you know, we think that we have things different now, that there's something new, that there's something that we are dealing with or that we've figured out that no one else has done before. But the wise man said, oh, there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever the problems are, or the issues are, or things where, whether we're talking about gender or talking about some other things, that the Bible already addresses these things. And so the Bible provides these answers, that the issue then is not that, well, the Bible doesn't address them. It's that the Bible doesn't give the answers that people want to hear on these things. And really, I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I do believe that we are a very generation eccentric, as far as thinking our generation is always going to be the one that has all the answers. That, and in fact, that goes against the traditional idea of conservatism, or even the idea of tradition, where, you know, generations that came before us had certain problems to work out, and they solved them in a certain way. And now we just throw everything out and say, no, if that was the decision you made, we must search for something else. And so instead of monogamy, now we have everything else, you know, and it's not actually anything new. You know, to be progressive, you go back 2000 years to Rome, they were practicing some of the very things they're trying to push right now, and they're calling it something new, and it's actually something very old. And so it's just a different way of looking at life. In fact, I was actually on my Olive Tree Bible Study app. That was the actual verse I had pulled up there and highlighted. And going back to verse 4, it says, a generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. You know, and it's like every generation that comes along, they think, you know, especially that it seems like more so now than maybe an older generation. Excuse me. They seem to think, well, you know, we're the generation, you know, everything that's going to happen and that's important is happening right now, and we're going to be the ones to make it happen, you know, and yet there's nothing new under the sun, you know. And you'd say, well, were there cell phones, you know, when the preacher in Ecclesiastes? No, but there was communication, there was gossip, you know, there was backbiting, there was, you know, all the things that are involved with communication, and that's what the Bible addresses.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what I was about to bring up, the idea of these cell phones and the fact that we have access to almost any information, anything we can find at our fingertips, and we can know what's going on the other side of the world in an instant. And so I think that has led a lot of people to believe that because we have these devices in our pockets, that we almost, you know, we don't need God anymore, or we don't need what he's told us because we have all the information we need. We have, if we need to know an answer to something, well, we can, you know, Google it and we can look up the answer to that. If we want to know what's going on halfway around the world, well, we can just pick up our phone and, you know, scroll through Twitter and we know everything that's going on in the world, or we have the illusion or the perception that we can do that. And so I think with technology, and like you said, really all this is just communication, and the Bible addresses that, but we've allowed ourselves, or for a lot of people have allowed ourselves to think that, well, we have all of that. So, you know, we know more than the previous generations. Well, we might have access to more information, but that doesn't mean we are wiser than previous generations, or that we know, or really that we know more than them. It's not, that's not true either.
Well, you know, when I was in elementary school, one of the first things I had to do in kindergarten is memorize my parents' phone number. So when I was at school, I'd have a way to call home. I hardly know anybody's phone number now, even though it's at my fingertips. And I think that's one of the biggest indictments of all this knowledge, is that we have the potential to have more knowledge, but we spend, I'm not speaking personally, but I'm just saying in general, you know, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on all these places, and it's just a brain drain. It's not really making us wiser. And in fact, you know, that being said, it can be a huge tool to learn and to grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And I love being able to sit in a Bible study and everybody's got their smart device of some kind, and we're like, what is that verse? And very quickly they can do a word search, or somebody knows the King James Version versus another, and they can just zero in on that one word and find everywhere it's listed and find it within a couple seconds. You know, and so I don't know exactly where it is, but I can find it. But can you just imagine a couple generations ago? Probably if you'd said, doesn't the Bible say this somewhere? And they could find it because they had spent enough time studying it. They could actually just flip to it and they knew where it was. And I'm wondering which is, I kind of know which one's better. I wish I just had that knowledge up here and wasn't relying on a smartphone as much as I do, as a crutch.
Right. And that's what it is. It is a crutch. I like the way that you said that, where, you know, we have the potential to have this knowledge. We can access it, but it doesn't mean that we actually have the knowledge. And this is where this generation that we're in now, and really when we think about the internet and social media and all that, and this has already taken a turn in direction that I wasn't expecting, but that's okay. But we think about our generation that now has this, and the generation that's growing up now with this, as you know, that's all they've ever known. It is still a relatively new technology. And the way,
well, as my daughter liked to say, she says that I was born in the 1900s.
Right. Yeah.
So even our generation, even though I'm not that old, it's like, they don't know what a card catalog is. I remember going to the library and using a card catalog.
Oh yeah.
And I don't even think libraries have those anymore.
It's been a while since I've been in a library. We have Google. We don't need the library anymore.
And I can go to Amazon and buy the book that I want instead of hoping it's at the library.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But we have, you know, I don't think people realize just how much, we really don't know how much long-term it's going to impact, you know, for us, for like our generation now and the kids that are coming up, how it's going to affect them. That, but we have, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about, that because we have all of this out there and we think we know everything that's going on, and we think we have access to all the, or we think we do, have access to all of these things. And we also are learning more about, or are more aware of some of the things that are going on that previously would just be rumored about, or maybe wouldn't be talked about, like with this whole, you know, the way homosexuality has kind of exploded. And now transgenderism has exploded in awareness and acceptance and all of that. Those things wouldn't have been talked about, or they would have been, you know, you don't want to say anything about that. But now, because it's out in the open, and now with the online communities that you have where people can feel like they get support from this, that you have people where now they feel like, well, yeah, this is a normal thing. So I think it's kind of helped normalize it, which again goes to the idea of, well, you know, the Bible obviously is outdated because it's saying these things and we see what these people are saying over here on online, and it's just completely different.
Right. I think what you're really speaking to is the flow of information, how fast everything flows, and the quickness of it being, you know, and how pervasive it is, you know. You know, the flow of information is actually good, but the problem is where is the flow of information of what is right? You know, you've got a lot of loud voices with a lot of money promoting a lot of things. And we as Christians, sometimes I think we're sitting there caught off guard because we're like, wait, is this a thing? You know? And yet the Bible is still relevant because, and all of these different issues, you know, we could look through the statistics. In fact, you've done many podcasts about some of these issues that we don't necessarily need to get into tonight. And just from a biological standpoint, from a mental health standpoint, many of the things that are being promoted and pushed as normal are not normal for the people living it. And even if they're saying it is, they're not happy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are some who are, and, you know, but as a general rule, you're finding a lot of people who are just confused and they're being given this as an option. And we need to be grounded enough that we can say, look, I know that's what they're saying, but have you considered, you know, your biology? Have you considered science? Have you considered even just the impact of your mental health? You know, and maybe there's something else that you should consider. And as far as we're concerned, you know, the question was asked, is it naive to think that we can use the Bible to address issues we face in the modern world? And I would say absolutely. That's going to be our foundation, and that's going to help us guide those who are wishy-washy, tossed to and fro without any anchor to something which is steadfast and true, the Word of God. You know, and that's what's unique about the Bible. One of the other questions you had there, you know, what's it about the Bible that makes it unique from other books? And what did you have in mind there when you considered that?
Well, the basic point that I wanted to think about when we think about what makes the Bible unique, because as we've talked about, we have access to all sorts of different information, whether it's, you know, books on that we can order on Amazon, or a lot of books are available freely online, or other information's online. And what is it about the Bible that makes it unique? Well, the most basic point is that the Bible is from God. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is inspired by God. There is no other book that's true about. It is only the Bible. And when we think about, you know, going all the way back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, that you have God, he is our creator. He is the one who made us. So if he made us and he is now giving his word to us, he knows better than anyone else. He knows better than, you know, whoever you were, you know, looking up on the internet, whatever they have to say, or whatever, you know, group that you happen to be a part of, and what in their chat or whatever it is, that God knows more than anyone else. And so when we think about how we can find fulfillment, how we can find our purpose, again, that's what the book of Ecclesiastes was about that we mentioned earlier, that all of that is shown to us in the scriptures that were given to us by God. And he's given them to us for our good. So ultimately, when we think about why the Bible, why we should follow it, is because it wasn't just made up by men, because if that were true, it's no different than what people are saying today. But because it's from God, it's different. And that's what makes us pay attention to, or what makes us ought to pay attention to it.
Sure. I mean, Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And that's kind of a hot button, because there is no truth today. There's only my truth. There's only what I feel within my heart. There's my truth. And so truth becomes not objective, but subjective, and just, you know, wishy-washy with the person. And you know, this is what will ground you and help give you a foundation when you recognize that, like you said, that this is the word of God, that it is truth. And you would say, well, you're just making an assertion there that it is the word of God. And that's where you get into the study of apologetics, and you consider all the different ways to, you know, look at the historicity of the Old Testament, the New. You know, there's a lot of things that you can verify. Now, obviously, you're not going to be able to verify certain things. Obviously, they're not, unless I was there, I'm not going to see where Jesus turned the water into wine. You know, I'm not going to see where he raised the dead and all those kinds of things. But that doesn't mean they're any less true. When you consider you can't even just look at the Bible as a book full of good moral platitudes. It doesn't let you. You either have to accept it as what it claims to be, the word of God, and therefore then you're going to be amenable to that, or you're going to have to just reject it altogether. You can't just say, well, you know, Jesus was just a good moral teacher. No, he never claimed that for himself. He claimed and showed that he was the Son of God. You can either accept that and obedience, you know, follow his will, or you're going to have to reject it whole cloth. You can't say, well, I think he was a good guy, but I don't really think that he was the Son of God. You're not given, he doesn't give you that latitude, you know? And I think that's the biggest hindrance to some people today, is because they have been kind of given this notion that everything is subjective, you know, touchy feely. I want to do this today. I want to feel that today. What he said was mean. Therefore what he said, I'm not going to believe, even though if you were to consider what he said, maybe it's true, but then that might mean I have to make some changes, or I might have to re-identify certain things that I need to change. And I'm not willing to do that because I don't want to feel bad. And that's kind of where we are. And so, you know, I'm not naive, but there are some who make that naive claim that, well, the Bible is just, you know, a book of stories.
Right.
You know? And it doesn't claim that for itself. It doesn't claim to be just a collection of, that's one of the other things there, is it's not just a book of stories. You know, it's a cohesive framework which was written over, give or take 1600 years, over possibly 40 authors from different backgrounds, different lives, you know, never knew each other. I'm still getting some itchy in my throat here. Anyway, it's completely unique compared to anything else you can come up with.
Yeah, just when you think about, like you said, with the way that the Bible was put together, the way it was written, and with that number, the number of authors over the period of 1500 or 1600 years, and the fact that it is one complete story, and not story in the sense of fables, but it's one complete account that all flows together. There are no contradictions. That could not have been the product of men. But what you said there is absolutely true, that we don't have the option to say that, well, some of the Bible has some good things to say, and so I'm going to follow those things, but the rest of it, that if it is from God, and that's what it claims of itself, if it is from God, if Jesus is who he claimed to be, then we have to follow that. And not right. Say that, well, we'll just take some of it and not other parts, that it is the standard for us today, just as it was for previous generations.
Yeah, I'm reminded of Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where there were those who were claiming the resurrection was already passed, but yet they were still, I guess, striving to be a Christian, even though they were denying the resurrection. And he said, you know, how can you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And he goes through a huge logical argument that basically says, if verse 19, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in Christ we have hoped in this life only, we are of all men or all people most to be pitied, the ESV says. And so it cannot just be a book of platitudes that is just helpful to help us make good decisions. You know, there's a financial advisor that talks about, you know, being gazelle intense and not being a slave to the lender and all these kinds of things. And so, you know, it's going to give me good financial advice, help me make good money decisions. But as far as salvation issues are concerned, I don't know about that. You know, God is love. He loves everybody. He's not going to send anybody anywhere else. I'm not really too concerned about organized religion of any kind. That's not what the Bible says. And Paul said it this way: if you're only hoping to get some use out of Christ in this life only, we're of all people most to be pitied. It's kind of pointless to even call yourself a Christian.
Right. And that passage in 1 Corinthians 15, a little bit later, he said that, you know, if this is all, you know, not true, verse 32 says, let us eat and drink for tomorrow we die. That, right. That really it's, you had the people in Corinth, as you said, that they were denying this, but they're still trying to live as a Christian. But he's saying that just throw it all out. Just if this is all or nothing. Right.
It's all or nothing. You either take it all.
Just throw it all out and just live as you please. So as we're running out of time here, so we'll have to wrap this up. But basically, when we think about this idea of is the Bible relevant today, we've just introduced the idea that it is reliable, that we can rely on the Bible, that it is from God, that it has been, you know, we have those evidences in there from the fact that there are no contradictions, that all of this is true about it, and the fact that it has to be either from God and accepted in its entirety, or we just throw it out and it's not worth anything. But we see in the Bible that because it is from God, it addresses the needs that we have as individuals, as human beings today, just as it did in previous generations. So is the Bible relevant? Yes. We have to go to the Bible. We have to follow what it teaches, not just, well, this is some good advice, but follow what it says for us to do, because this is God's way. God's way is always best. And what we have come up with today, or what society has come up with today, is not better than what he has given us. So, Christopher, do you have any other comments before we close today?
Well, I just think that this is something that we need to study some more because, you know, I'm sure the skeptic will look at a lot of the stuff we've said this evening and said, oh, well, they're just asserting those things. But I would encourage you to examine the words, examine the text, examine the Bible. And in future lessons, I want us to kind of go through that and, you know, do some examining, ask some of those hard questions, because I think the Bible is still relevant today, certainly. And I would like others who may be on the fence, even some Christians who, like I said, they promote this idea that they believe the Bible, but when it comes down to really hard things that are happening in their life, they tend to throw that out and start to use human wisdom or man's wisdom, which many times is contradictory to what the Bible would say you should do. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, in our modern society, we can't, that's just an outdated book. And I think it's very, very well dated and very relevant. And as you rightly pointed out there in Ecclesiastes, that there is nothing new under the sun. If we're having a problem in any relationship in this world, there's a verse that we can look at that addresses it, or an example where we see that playing out in real people's lives. And it should help us make better decisions, be better able to cope when we're confronted with problems that are happening in this world. And so I appreciate the time to spend to talk about it tonight.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you joining me here for this discussion. And this is something that we can talk about more in the future and in future episodes, but I will include some other links in the show notes for more of this information for anyone who's listening or watching the video and kind of is wondering, like, well, you're just making these claims. That's not really, you know, how are you backing this up? I'll have some other links in the show notes that'll help with that. But that'll be all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this to be interesting, informative, and helpful. And for those links that will be in the show notes, those will be at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/11/17/22. And if you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or to share it with others that you think would be interested, that would always be appreciated. And if you are listening to this and you are wanting to, or you prefer to watch the video versions of this, we are uploading the video versions to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So that is also available as an option to you. If you see a news story or some topic that you would like for us to address here on the podcast, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. But thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.